Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're into the third and final hour of Locked and Loaded today. It's been a good one, in my humble opinion. Of course, I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say I suck, but it genuinely has been a good one. Not because of me, by the way, because of the people that I have on to talk to, the guests. Don't have guests, what am I going to say? I'm just going to talk hot air for 3 hours and no one wants to hear that. Trust me, it's tough enough people sticking me for 10 minutes talking solo, let alone 3 hours. So big respect to the guests that I've had on today, Darren of Plymouth and also Dr. Philip Altman in Australia, who's doing some excellent work drumming up for a royal commission into the abuse that's been going on by our governments, our pharma companies, our medical professionals, et cetera, with the rollout of these ever-present COVID vaccines. However, I want to jump back across the pond again. I'm going to be talking in the next hour to Louise Crefield, who's here. Yeah, she's been a little bit of a stranger to Locked and Loaded, I must admit. That's my fault. I should have stayed in closer contact with her. To be frank, I'm very happy she's not behind bars. She's fond of appearing in court. She's the closest thing we've got to a bona fide criminal here on Locked and Loaded, which I think is fantastic, by the way. That gets her a lot of respect in my eyes. She's always ruffling feathers and rattling cages and blowing trumpets in all the right places. So Louise is in the wings waiting to pounce before she takes the stand and swears to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let's look at some shenanigans that are currently underway in the UK. The Guardian, the good old Guardian, is telling us that the UK has been warned that utterly irresponsible policies could drive the pound below the dollar and euro parity. Imagine that, warning the government. You're being utterly irresponsible. You will destroy the economy. And you know what? They know what they're doing. They're just looking and laughing and going, you know what? We're going to do it anyway because we have a plan and we're going to follow through with the plan, and the rich will get richer. The poor will get poorer. So just sit in your place and be quiet, pleb. We're going to do whatever the hell we like to do. So you can highlight it all you like, but until these gangsters are removed physically, I mean physically removed from their positions in Westminster, you can tell them all you like. They're going to keep wrecking us and wrecking our economy. The falling pound, BBC asks the question, what does it mean for me and my business? Let me answer it in two words. You're screwed. End of story. That's what it means. It means you're screwed. You're royally screwed. Financially, the lights will go off on an economic basis, on an energy basis, on a profit business, everything. No VAT rate cuts for you, Mr. Shop Owner. But the rich, the bankers, don't have a cap anymore on their annual bonuses. And if you're on 150 grand a year or more, we're going to scrap the 45% rate of income tax. But VAT cuts for the hospitality industry. Don't be stupid. Why would we want to do that? We're trying to destroy you. We're trying to put you out of business. Why would we give you a break? Think about it. So what does it mean for me and my business? The falling pound, it means lights out. If it keeps going the way it's going. Okay. Five reasons why a fall in the pound matters. What the implications are. We've already covered that. Mortgage lenders are pulling deals. They're adding to the list as the morning goes on. They're panicking. Okay, they do not want to give homeowners a low interest fixed deal when the interest rates will be jacked up and up and up and up, because inflation is going up and up and up and up, because the money printing is going up and up and up and up. You getting the picture? Yeah. The only people not suffering are the thugs that are implementing these measures. Holy heavens, I need to lie down. I need to take a cup of tea here, and I need to let Louise talk. I'm going to tell you that we have an app, as you probably know, in the App Store. And on that app, we have a little schedule called What's On, a little calendar. And on that calendar, you can add things to it that you're planning. And take note of this, Louise Crefield. Next time you're planning a rally, or next time you want some publicity for what you're doing, you can contact our website and we will do a lovely promo flyer type thing for you, and people in your area will be able to see where you're going to be at, what you're going to be doing. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, where can I connect with people? Is there anything happening in my neck of the woods? Check out our calendar, our What's On section of the website and of the app, and you will also be able to connect with like-minded individuals there for rallies, for protests, for communal events, whatever it happens to be. So make use of that, and let's connect with each other on TNT Radio.
The latest news, traffic, and weather right to your smart speaker.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Louise Crefield, legend, I might say. Welcome back to Locked and Loaded. How the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm officially a criminal, but yeah, I'm good. I'm all right with that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And by the way, I've stopped making notes. I'm getting lazier as time goes by, but I dug out a little piece of paper here. You can see it. A little piece of paper with your name at the top. It's my little file on you. I have a file on you. Okay. And let me go back like
you're
MI6.
Not the only one.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, on my little file, now this is going back about May time-ish. 2 week trial, 12 charges, organizing protests, 10 in London, £20,000 fine, broken into two £10,000 fines. And on June the 22nd of June, a verdict was going to be out on you on a 2 week trial. Does that sound like a good resume of your activities over the last few months?
Yeah, so I had one trial where I was found guilty of two charges. And those got me two £10,000 fines. And then I had another trial of two charges, which were dropped, actually. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then I had the two-week trial, which had eight charges. And I was found guilty. So four of them were high charges and four were lower charges. And I was found guilty of three of the high charges and acquitted of one and fined. I was only fined £334 at that one because they weren't insane. Not fining me £10,000 fine for each thing.
10 grand at a time.
Yeah. So in total, I got five charges and about £21,000 worth of fines. But we overturned the £20,000 fine in the Crown Court and reduced that down to £1,500.
Okay, but it's still a big nasty lump to be fined. Okay, you went from 20 down to 1500, but still, I remember the last time you were on, actually, you know, you made the point. You said, look, how am I supposed to pay this? You know, I've got my bills to pay, the cost of living's going up, I've got mouths to feed, and so on and so forth. Did that play a part in their clemency, or was it just on a purely legal standpoint they reduced it? Did they have any compassion for you as a human at all?
No, there was no. So basically, we went to the Crown Court, and because the standard is they're not meant to fine anybody more than they can reasonably pay back within 12 months. And obviously, as a single mother and so on, there's not much I can pay back within 12 months. But they set it at £1,500 and at a rate that I have to pay back, which will take me 6 years. So it's more than that. And they said that I have to pay a fine for longer than 12 months because basically I'm a hardened criminal and I knew exactly what I was doing and had a flagrant disrespect for the law. So I got a 6 year fine rather than a 1 year fine. So there wasn't much compassion.
So yeah, that's where I was kind of trying to get to the bottom of that. Was it legality that played its part, or was it actual good old fashioned human nature? And of course, it wasn't human nature. It was legal issues and wranglings and loopholes. And by the way, for the benefit of anybody listening, and I mean, like, I'll give your effective your background. You have a website that you run called Save Our Rights. SaveOurRights.uk. It's a non-profit, non-governmental organization, and also you're on Twitter at SaveOurRights UK. So you can connect with Louise through her website, SaveOurRights.uk or SaveOurRights UK on Twitter. People might be listening going, well, you know, she's talking about being a hardened criminal and she's getting fined and she's 12 charges, blah, blah, blah. Were you dealing drugs or did you hold up a bank at gunpoint or were you trafficking children across the channel? What was your crimes, by the way?
What was my crime? My crime was standing up for human rights. They are all protesting charges for organising some of the biggest rallies London has ever seen in decades. You know, one of the ones that I got fined originally for £10,000 had nearly 1 million people there, as confirmed by the CPS, as confirmed by the police. And it would have been worth £10,000, quite frankly. But yeah, it was all protesting charges. We have, you know, they call us anti-lockdowners, but we're actually pro-human rights. That's what we were there. That was our stance. And, you know, and we did a good job. It worked. We overturned vaccine mandates. In the UK, we had the least restrictive restrictions because we were proactive from April 2020. So It helped. It really did help. But there's no time to rest, unfortunately, because they're trying different angles, new bills, new problems. So we still have to keep going.
There's like a two-pronged, how can I say this? There's a two-pronged approach that you have to the work that you do, as far as I'm concerned, or from what I can see. Okay, so number one is you're trying to raise awareness of, the like of fuel poverty. We started talking about this back in April, round about April of this year. So what's that, 5 months, 6 months-ish? A lot has happened in those 6 months. So that's part of what you do, is to raise awareness of, you know, how to avoid fuel poverty, the fact that people will be falling into fuel poverty, what people can do about it, the way energy prices are going up. And the other one is to do with basic human rights and freedom of speech and, you know, online expression of opinions should not be demonized and criminalized. So you've got kind of two, you know what I mean? You've got two major thrusts to what you do. Would that be a first statement?
Yeah, well, the reason why I'm involved in the cost of living crisis is because it is a human rights issue. I'm pretty sure it's Article 3 says that we all humans have the right to live with dignity, not in cruel or inhumane situations. And the cost of living crisis is a cruel and inhumane situation for the people of the UK, and people are not able to live with dignity. So it is actually a human rights issue, and that's why I'm involved in it, because Save Our Rights focuses on human rights issues. But what people are failing to recognise is it is a human rights issue, because the government are allowing the UK populace to be subject to cruel and inhumane treatment by the energy companies, to the point where they're living, like, the way some people are living is just, it's utterly degrading, and it's just heartbreaking, and nobody should be forced into a situation to live like that. That is what Article 3 says. So they're both human rights issues. And that's why we get involved.
Yeah, although a lot of people, you know, even from they won't even know. A lot of people don't even know that there is a United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, that there's, 31 articles that apply to us, you know, to safeguard our movement, to allow us to earn a living, to allow us to come and go as we please if we're not criminals. People don't even know that this exists, let alone the fact that it's being abused. So I think when I'm saying that there's kind of two prongs to what you do, the energy element, it's really just hitting people in the pocket. And everybody knows about that because everybody's feeling the pinch right now, let alone the fact that they should be protected from that, because it's one of our human rights to have a decent standard of living. The fact is that people are being really kicked in the pocket right now. And again, since you last were on, I mean, I think about it, there's been so much happening. The price caps were going to go up on the 1st of October, then again in January, then again in April. And then Liz Truss comes in on her white horse and says, we're going to stop that meteoric rise. We're going to cap it at $2,500, but we're going to subsidize the energy companies to keep your bill at a rate of about twice of what it was this time last year. And you should be thankful for that. And you're obviously going to pay more in inflation. We're going to put the interest rates, and the vice is just tightening and tightening every day, even when they're proposing a solution, Louise. Reality is they're just screwing the screws down even harder, are they not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's nonsensical. But that's the way you get people to accept a doubling of your prices, by threatening them with quadruple and then going, oh, well, we'll just double it instead. And then people go, oh, thank you. Thanks. You so much. No, that's not a thank you. That's not
no.
it.
No.
So yeah, it's very well played on their parts, as it always is, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're masters. You've got to give them their dues. And I'm not saying I support them or condone what they're doing, but they know how to play the game, and they know how to manipulate people, and they know how to gaslight people, and they know how to screw people over and get them to say thank you at the end on the whole I'm talking about. And I think what you're trying to do is make people aware of the fact that they're being stitched up rather than saying thank you, Stockholm Syndrome style, to their captors and oppressors. We've got to take a real quick ad break here. When we come back, I want to look at this, the short-term landscape, what it might mean for you and me coming into Christmas. Are we being a little bit too hard on Liz Truss? Kwasi Kwarteng has just revealed his little mini budget on Friday. Should we not be thanking him for cutting the basic rate of income tax by a whole percentage point while axing the 45% bracket for the super earners? Let's get into the budget. The budget when we get back after the ads here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Mark Morano is talking about.
There are calls throughout Europe, Canada, the United States, Australia, in the once free West to nationalize all these energy industries. We'll start with that. Why is that? Well, because the free market failed. Look at this. We have shortages. We have high prices. We have people scrounging for firewood in Europe. We have, in fact, the most insane article this week was Yahoo Finance. Firewood is the new gold. Prices shift and theft jump in Europe as Russians' gas cutoff boosts wood demand ahead of winter. 1,000% increase in European energy prices. Another article, New York Times, crippling energy bills force Europe's factories to go dark. Now, we've talked on this program before about what is causing these shortages. And it is the Green New Deal. It is the net zero. It is the United Nations. It is the World Economic Forum. Climate goals, which have been choking off energy for decades in Europe. They're further ahead in the United States. And this is where we're headed now rapidly in the United States.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm speaking again with Louise Creveld, who for the time being is walking the streets free in the UK, despite her best efforts to get banged up for transgressions that involved rallying people together in support of human rights. That most heinous of all crimes. Yes, she still managed to avoid jail time for that one. Louise runs Save Our Rights UK, which is a non-profit, non-governmental organization. Check it out at saveourrights.uk and at Save Our Rights UK on Twitter. We're coming up to Christmas. Rewinding time back, you instigated or certainly tried to bring people's awareness to a Heat and Eat campaign going way back to April. And I'm looking at some of the things that you were trying to push for back then. And in light of the recent mini budget, let's see whether Kwasi Kwarteng is a follower of Save Our Rights UK. He's been paying attention to what Louise Creveld has been saying. So what you wanted was a stop to a 54% rise in energy prices, a two-year fixed tariff via windfall taxes on energy providers. So there has been no windfall taxes. There's been a two-year fixed tariff. But it's at the expense of the taxpayer to the tune of about 150 to 200 billion pounds of printed money. You wanted capital gains tax, mansions tax, instead of increased national insurance contributions. Well, Kwarteng has walked back Sunak's increase in NICs, but, you know, he hasn't exactly went after the rich. An old Charlie boy, King Charles to the plebs, he's inherited mummy's pile with no inheritance tax to pay whatsoever. So what an example to set to his loyal subjects. Mansions tax, you must be joking. That's not coming in anywhere. You said benefits need to rise in line with inflation. Well, you know, there's token increases that don't keep up with inflation, which is really sitting 20% plus easy, but they're saying it's pushing 20%. Extra benefits for working people as wages are not keeping up with inflation. You want the better insulation, energy efficiency. I don't see any of that anywhere. We're just being told wind farms are good, solar panels are good. Suck it up and get on with it and buy yourself an extra jumper if you're that cool, Louise. Stop crying about energy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's those all still stand. That is what is needed mm-hmm. to solve mm-hmm. the issue. And we will be doing another push on it next week at the Tory party conference. We're going to go lay the blame for this firmly at their door. And we've just been at the Labour Party conference, but on a different matter. But yeah, Tory Party conference next week on Sunday in Birmingham. We're going to be outside saying, and we will be highlighting that this is a human rights issue and they are like mm-hmm. destroying people's lives. We're not going to let them think that it's just a bit of a high energy bill. Like, because that's the thing is the Tories don't get it. The Tories don't live that experience. They don't know how anybody that does live that experience, they don't know what they're doing. Well, they do know what they're doing to people. That's a lie. But, you know, we're going to make sure that we highlight it some more. Uh-huh. So we'll be doing that next week on the Heat and Eat campaign because all of those demands still stand. They are what is necessary to get us through this uh-huh. point in time because, you know, the 2,500 price cap, which isn't actually realistic either. But our expense is just insane. It's like, uh-huh. It's just kicking the can down the road. It's not going to help us long term. That's not, no. It's not a solution. We've got this here in the UK, we've got the other problem of while everybody's distracted with this, they're sneaking through a whole load of bills. So like that's to say, right. Like focus is like a torn between the two because obviously the cost of living crisis is really problematic, but there's quite a lot of people willing to speak out on that. However, nobody's highlighting the fact that the government are also pushing through 10 bills that just destroy our human rights at the same time while everybody's distracted because mm-hmm. they do love a good opportunity.
Yeah, and it's smoke and mirrors. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people covered this with Darren earlier on. It's good to know what's happening on the world stage. It's good to know who you think you can trust and who you can't. But at the end of the day, you're still going to your local supermarket. You're still going to try and put electricity in your meter or gas in your meter. Your knowledge of geopolitics or who's the new Italian prime minister, if she's right wing, left wing, real or not, legit or not, it doesn't affect your day-to-day living. And I think a lot of people are completely preoccupied with this huge global stage. And I can be one of them, by the way, at the detriment to understanding what's happening in your own pocket, in your own house, with your own personal finances. And sadly, it is a lot of distractions going on there. This business as well, by the way, if I can just get your opinion on this, is it conceivable that in the last 2 to 3 weeks, that Liz Truss is either intent on or has caused as much damage, especially with this budget, this mini budget of Kwarteng, where he talks about trickle down economics. He says, no, we need to retain the rich and the bankers in London. If they don't, they'll go somewhere else. And we're doing this to keep them in the country and tax them more. And those tax dollars from the rich will filter down to you and me. Are you buying that? Are you buying this trickle-down economics model or what?
Yeah, I saw a great diagram of the trickle-down economics. Like, you know, when you stack wine glasses up and you pour and it all kind of trickles down. But the top one was like a huge bucket, basically. Yeah. So it's like, and then you might get some overflow. You might get a little trickle in your little cup after they fill their huge bucket. Yeah, so there you go. That's how trickle-down economics works. They fill a huge bucket. Yeah. And might get a few drops and it did trickle down. So technically it did, but not evenly. There's no, so it's just
there's a reason why those bankers have mansions in Islington and Kensington and you and I don't. And the reason is because nothing trickles down from us into someone else's pockets. And you can bet your sweet asses out there that nothing is going to trickle down from a multi-million pound banker's pockets into yours. It's just not going to happen. And please, please examine everything. And that analogy that you made is perfect. It's like a set of wine glasses, a pyramid. The top one gets filled. It trickles down and trickles down. And I seen another meme saying that, you know, there was a straw put from the top glass into a bucket. So yeah, where it should trickle down, it effectively gets siphoned off. So it's not trickle down economics. Let's rebrand it right now. Exclusively, it's siphon off economics. They're siphoning off that banker's wealth and putting it back into the banker's pockets. But anyway, we've got to take a super short news break here, 30 seconds. When we come back, let's move the focus onto those other things that you said are being neglected, which is the clamping down on our freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom to protest, and so on and so forth. We'll get into that when we come back after the news here on TNT. Don't go away.
Darren Metzer here with your TNT headlines. The FBI has been called in to help track down the hackers behind Australia's worst ever cyber attack that's impacted nearly half of the country's population. Mass evacuations are underway in the US state of Florida as a powerful hurricane bears down on the state's Gulf Coast. NASA's fired a rocket into an asteroid to try and change its course in a test of the world's first planetary defense system, and 11 children and 6 adults have been shot and killed at a school in Russia.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Okay, let's talk other issues. So someone might be listening in and they heard you saying about pushing bills through and censorship, and they could say, Louise, what are you talking about? I don't have a clue what you're talking about. What I need to be wary of, what do people need to be wary of that they maybe don't know is going on behind the scenes? In a nutshell, what do you reckon? Where should we be focusing our attention?
Well, there's 10 bills. So there are 10 threats to your security and your freedoms. And we've dubbed the whole collection as Operation Overreach. It's like the government are just going on a full-scale operation to overreach into every area of our lives. But we're working on a solution, and we're working on a campaign to raise awareness of it and to bring people in to take action as well. But there's 10 different bills, each of which threaten different aspects of our human rights. But when you combine, so like some of them only like do like a little bit here and there, but when you combine the 10 together, it's really, really dangerous. So like lots of people worry about things like social crediting. Currently in the UK, they couldn't bring in a social credit system tomorrow and make it mandatory. We just, like, there are laws and regulations that would prevent them from doing that. If these 10 bills get through, they have the legal framework that they need to be able to push through a mandatory social crediting system. So they would, everything that's blocking them currently, they would be removing or replacing or readdressing with these 10 bills that are sneaking through. So like, if you don't want a future like that, you have to really be looking at these 10 bills and taking action on them. Do you want me to run through the bills?
Yeah, if you can, because one question I have for you, just as you're talking there, is would that be dependent, would the social credit system be dependent on all 10 passing, or if they get 8 over the line, would that be enough, or are they depending on them all getting passed? Can you see what I mean? Or can they factor in, okay, three may not make it, but we've got 7 out of 10, we can still go ahead with this. What was the makeup of that, as well as what are the bills?
Yeah, so there's about 3 that they need to get through to be able to do it. Yep. Then there's 4 that basically prevent us saying anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then there's 3 others that are just an extra assault on our human rights. Okay. So the 3 that they need to get through to be able to bring in social crediting are the Bill of Rights. So this is just threatening the whole Human Rights Act. They want to make it, they want to legislate that all of our human rights can be taken away at any point for the greater good. If it's in wider public interest. And now you could make an argument for pretty much anything under that. And also, you won't be able to take human rights abuses to court, and the government will be able to tell judges how to judge. So the Bill of Rights is hugely problematic, but that greater good, the wider public interest, that's the real key of where they can bring in mandatory things for the wider public interest without supposedly threatening our human rights. And then on top of that, you've got the Brexit Freedoms Bill, which is where they want to remove GDPR, because one of the factors of a social crediting system would mean that lots of data would have to be shared, and they can't currently do that because we've got GDPR. So they want to remove that in the Brexit Freedoms Bill. And then the Economic Crimes Bill as well, that one really gets into cryptocurrency and running of businesses. So they want to give companies house lots of powers over your businesses. And they also want to look at how they can monitor your crypto. So, you know, so if you try to remove yourself from the system somewhat, then they're looking at ways of getting in there. So those three really pave the way for social crediting. But then they also want to stop us being able to speak out. So, and that's done in four different bills. So you've got the Public Order Bill. So this is the one that is threatening our right to protest even more. So we had the Police Crime Sentencing in Courts. Well, it's now an act. And that had some threats to our rights to protest in. And then they added a whole load of amendments near the end. But we actually managed, they suffered 14 defeats, did the government, on that bill. So they brought all 14 things back in a new bill to try again. So that's nice. Okay. So this will see us, so, you know, they can put injunctions on people like myself and say that I can't organize a protest, talk about a protest, advertise a protest, attend a protest, to the point where they can even put an ankle tag on me so that they can monitor where I am or who I'm talking to and so on. They can stop and search anybody at a protest. And if you don't comply, you could get arrested and sent to jail and so on. So protesting will become very difficult. Then we've got the Online Safety Bill, which has a clause in it that says anything that's classed as legal but harmful has to be removed from the internet. Now, that they the government are actively refusing to define what that means. And as what, like we all know, it can easily be used to censor people online, censor free speech. Like we've all experienced it over the last 2.5 years. That will just go even further because now the companies will be threatened with huge fines if they don't. So they're going to just be even more overzealous than they currently are. So like we'll be getting social crediting in, but you won't be able to protest on the streets. You won't be able to speak out online. And then there's the National Security Bill, which is threatening journalists and whistleblowers with up to 14 years in jail for exposing the government when they do something wrong. So before there was what was called the public interest defense. So if you expose something that was classed as sensitive material, classified material, if you could prove that it was in the public interest to know that, then you weren't deemed a criminal. They want to get rid of that defense and they want to increase the maximum sentence from 2 years to 14 years. So journalists aren't going to be able to speak out. And then Boycotts, Divestments and Sanctions Bill. So this is threatening the right of public bodies to protest because currently public bodies will boycott companies that are like committing human rights abuses and so on and so forth and will take stands on things. And they want to make that illegal as well. So, you know, so all of those things, you just like, so that just prevents us speaking out. In any way, shape, or form.
I'm going to do a quick recap of that because I've been making some notes down. So really, there's three core things that they need to push through and another four supplementary things. There's another three on top of that that's just really sticking the boot in a little bit further, but it doesn't necessarily prevent the SCP coming in. So the Bill of Rights, being brought in, which was replacing our Human Rights Act, I believe, Dominic Raab, I think Dominic Raab kicked that off last December, unless I'm very much mistaken. Where does that stand now, actually, with him being now removed from his position? Has someone been shooed in by Truss's government to take that on, or are they doing that one sort of behind closed doors?
So it's been up and down and up and down. So Liz Truss has actually said, so there's a current draft that had started through Parliament. And Liz Truss has actually said that she wants to redraft it because it doesn't quite give her enough power. So she wants even more powers than it was getting. So, which is great that it might be delayed because it gives us more time to raise awareness. But when it comes back, it will be even worse. So we're yet to fully see if it has been kicked out in the current draft. But if it has, it's not really a cause for celebration because it will be coming back with more powers for the government.
They're tweaking it. They're tweaking it for the worse. So that's the Bill of Rights. That's the big one that will replace our existing Human Rights Act. The second one was the Brexit Freedoms Bill. Sounds inoffensive enough of itself, but what that will really facilitate is the removal of data protection stoppers that otherwise protect a sharing of our information between agencies to agencies, which is needed to bring in the social credit system in full. And the other one is the economics, what is it? Economic, I can't even read my own writing,
crimes
calls
bill.
Or crimes bill. Crimes, yeah. Bill. My writing is horrific. It's so bad, generally so bad, I can't even read it. So economic crimes bill. So those are the three to watch out for: the Bill of Rights, the Brexit Freedoms Bill, which will affect data protection, and the Economic Crimes Bill. So those are in the works, are being developed. And then we have the Public Order Bill, the Online Safety Bill, the National Security Bill, and the Boycott Investments Bill. That will really put the squeeze on us as individuals to stop us speaking out, to whistleblow, to protest. If we protest, we might get stopped and searched. If we don't, we'll be arrested. You can't go to certain places. You're prevented from organizing, talking about rallies. That could affect you and me. You may not be allowed legally to come on and talk to me again. I may not be allowed as part of this bill, depending on how the laws apply, because we're broadcasting out of Brisbane in Australia. It could affect me as well. So those are things that, although we're talking about them, generally speaking, technically speaking, both of us personally could be affected by this in the not too distant future. Or we could be jailed under the National Security Bill if we're talking out against government overreach, which is really actually what you've branded your 10 bill thing, Operation Overreach. So I'd say, yeah, you're probably one of the first candidates to be locked up, and I might not be too far behind you, actually.
It's all right. Well, sadly, we wouldn't get cells together because they're female and male prisons. Shucks.
Well, not unless I identify as a woman, of course, in which case we could be cellies. You know, anything's possible.
Do that. Do that. If you end up in jail, you should do that. Come join me.
I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the problem. It's like, so the whole combination of the 10, and then, like I say, there is three others which are really problematic. Mm. So we've got the schools bill, which is basically just threatening parents' rights to parent their children. It's going to make, it's got provisions to make all schools academies, which are basically then owned by private corporations. It will prevent any new faith schools being built. It will also make home education nigh impossible. So anybody who wants to home educate their own children, will have to have a criminal background check and prove themselves to the local authority. If grandma comes over and does a couple of hours with the child and teaches them some bits, grandma will also have to be criminally checked, and you'll then have to register your home as a school, but which is just nonsensical. It is just nonsensical.
It is.
So they're making it impossible to home educate without making it illegal. So everybody's kids end up in school. And if for some reason you were to take your child out of school, say they were sick or there was a bereavement in the family or they had mental health issues, bullying, what have you, if the local authority aren't in agreement, they can take control of your child just because they've been off school for a bit. Not because there's any other safeguarding issues, but if they deem that they've been off school for too long and they don't agree, they would be able to take control of your child. So
That's the worst of all. As if you're a parent out there and you're listening to this, you know, thank God my daughter is through the hell of the edge, and we kept her off school for the last 2 years. She was locked out anyway from March of 2020 up until December of 2020. She never went back, so she didn't go back to do her exams in school. She hated it. The whole system just was horrendous with the one way and the masking and all the the psychotic behavior that was going on there. But anyway, she's out of that system now, but I would not want to be a parent bringing up young ones through primary and secondary school now with this constant looking over your shoulder. I don't care about getting letters. You don't either. You don't care about being in a court and paying a fine. That's not. But if someone came to your door and said, Louise, we're taking your children because you're not sending them to school or they've been bullied, that's the worst. That's as scummy a move as it gets, in my humble opinion. That's the big one.
I know. It's horrific. It really is. It's really awful. So there's a lot of people that are very upset about it, and rightly so. So we're just trying, but lots of people don't recognize that it affects them if they're not home educating, but it really does, because you never know what's going to happen if your child might need some time off school. So it's really important that people are aware of that one and take action on that one. Mm-hmm. And then to further kick the poor kids while they're down is the higher education bill. So this is about universities. And so they're basically saying that if a 16-year-old doesn't get their maths and English GCSE the first time round, even if they go and do it a second time and get top marks, they won't be eligible for student finance. So they won't be able to attend university unless they're super rich. They're also limiting foundation years. And they also want to limit the courses as well. So they basically don't want anything that involves critical thinking or creativity. And we're seeing it already. Some universities have actually cancelled courses ahead of this bill being passed. So we've seen people cancelling creative writing, philosophy, photography, English language, English literature, all those ones that make variety, make the world go round.
And focus in on English and maths, those. And again, that's what they're dictating. There was a news article came through yesterday that Connecticut in America is the first place that's going to mandate the teaching of climate change, and the blame being attributed to humans for that. So that will be mandated by law in Connecticut going forward. So this is starting to creep in. And of course, people are like, is that the kind of place I want to have my kid? Well, if you don't have them in there, you could get a knock on the door and little Johnny or little Mary could be whisked off to foster parents because you committed the heinous crime of pulling them out of public education. We've got to take a really quick break again here just before we wrap this one up, Louise, but just that's triggered me, that whole school thing, because it's something I feel pretty passionately about. And I had someone on earlier this week from France, and they're also really clamping down on their home education ability to home educate kids from September, which is now. So that's happening in France at the minute. I'll talk to you a little bit about that when we come back after these ads here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So who knew that the state of California is 45% smarter than the state of New York? Or are they? Well, according to published reports, last winter, both states purchased the same COVID-19 home test, but New York paid about 45% more per test than California. The Times Union reports New York Governor Kathy Hochul's administration bought 52 million of the CareStart test manufactured by the New Jersey-based firm Access Bio. Now, unlike California, New York purchased tests through an intermediary, New Jersey-based distributor Digital Gadgets, a company owned by a New York family that has, get this, donated nearly $300,000 to Hochul's campaign. California bought the test directly from Access Bio. So why would Hochul's administration use the intermediary owned by a family that donated big time to her campaign? Let's have an investigation to find out and hope that in the meantime, she doesn't win re-election in November. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Brian Stelter and Liz Cheney gone in the same week.
And that's just the start of draining the entire swamp.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, this business of, this sinister business of criminalizing, really, or making it very difficult for you to homeschool your children. Is it, to me, the most sickening development in all of this? Because, you know, as a parent, or, you know, if you've got kids, you'll understand this more than someone that doesn't, because your kids are the most precious thing to you. You want to protect them. You want to protect their minds. You want to protect their bodies. You want to do what you can for them as a parent. So it's effectively making it more difficult for you to do that if you think that that's the right thing to do for your kids as a parent, which should be your choice as their parent. In France, they're also bringing through legislation this month to make it extremely difficult to homeschool your children, to the point whereby the local council or mayor of the district in which you live will be able to call out to your house and inspect your facilities and to determine whether or not your child is actually getting a decent education. This is the mayor of the principality or the municipality, wherever it is in France. Why don't they just leave people alone? You know, there's always been a minority, a great minority of people that have homeschooled their kids. Could this be because the tide is turning and they're losing kids in much greater numbers than they thought they would, and that's causing them a little bit of concern, hence the scare tactics and the draconian measures for home aid?
Yeah, I believe so. I think a lot of children have stayed home educating, like yours, have stayed home after being home. Mm-hmm. And also, like you say, there's a lot about you know, they want to really regulate what they're learning. So they want to regulate that they all have to learn about climate change and stuff. And that they can't do that with home educating. So it's just a proper propaganda drive, as far as I'm concerned, and just a sinister exercise in threatening your children. And people get scared and they don't want to lose their children. So they'll do as they're told, even if it's to the detriment of their own child. No, it's really terrifying. You know, and the last bill, which I'll just quickly talk about, which also upsets me greatly, because like many others, I really value health and healthy eating, and I try and feed my children really well. And like, but there's the last bill is the Genetic Technology Precision Breeding Bill, which is a bit of a tongue twister. Yeah. But this one is going to allow farmers to modify the animals and crops at the breeding stage into all sorts of in all different ways, to a point where like the RSPCA are going, we can't do this to the animals, we don't know what effects it will have. It's like really basically Frankensteining our animals that we in produce. But the other thing they want to do is remove all labeling, so you won't know, you won't know what you're eating. You won't know if the chicken that you're eating is a Frankenstein chicken or a regular chicken. And again, as a parent, I'm like, I want to feed my children the best food that I can, you know, and sometimes they eat a pizza and they'll eat stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, I make that informed decision to on occasion do that. But if you can't even know if you're feeding them natural food or unnatural food, like, it's outrageous. So that's the last bill of the 10 that's really just threatening. And we're, like I say, we've got action that you can do on the saveourrights.uk website. You can write to your MP on all 10 bills in one easy form. We've got it all set up so you can do it like that, because we have to lobby, but we're also doing a lot of action on the streets. We had 80 locations out last week, and we sent out 100,000 leaflets across the country. And the great thing is, the public love it. The public are with us. We're getting between an 18 to 100% positive response rate from people that we speak to in the streets.
Brilliant.
Because we're not the enemy. The government are the enemy. We've been the enemy for the last couple of years. They're ones that were threatening them because we weren't sticking to the rules. But now we are on their side, and people want to hear what we've got to say. People are like, they either know a bit and are so glad somebody's doing something about it, or they don't know, then they're horrified, and then they're so glad that somebody's doing something about it. And we are the only organization that's put, like said, look at all these 10 together. Look how bad this is. Some people are talking about one or two, but nobody's got all 10 together and gone, wait a minute, this is just not, this is not right. They're threatening our rights, from our food to our children, to our free speech, to like our cryptocurrency, to it's just in every single direction, all at once, while people are distracted by the cost of living crisis, which obviously is a real issue, but that's dominating the conversation, and these bills are just slipping under the net. So that's why we're really trying to raise awareness of them at the moment.
To be fair play to you for managing to concisely cover each and every one of the 10 bills here in the not even 25 minutes that we've had since the news at the half hour mark, because I wanted to try and cover both sides of what you do, the highlighting on the heat and eatery campaign, and also the bills that are being passed through without a lot of people's knowledge. And although some people are aware, there's stuff going on. They couldn't have maybe said there's 10 bills in particular. These are going to affect your homeschooling ability. These are going to affect your personal, crypto investments if you have them. These are going to affect your ability to protest. So it's like one disgusting big monster bill that's been broken down into 10 little small monster bills, and they're all scurrying around like little rats across the floor. And like I said, if you can manage to bop some of them, they only need seven or three to seven of them to really start to make your life hell. But one good thing, actually, from what you've just said, and I'm seeing a little bit of it myself, you and I could have disagreed a year ago about vaccines. We could have fought about it. We could have disagreed about lockdowns. We could have fought about it. The one thing that's uniting everybody now, irrespective of whether they vote Labour or Tory, or they're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, or pro-lockdown or anti-lockdown, or pro-Ukraine or anti-Ukraine, the one thing that's uniting everyone now is they're being kicked in the pocket. I do not know anybody that's not suffering financially right now. And the little places that I would go to and have conversations with people, the conversation topic always turns to the economy now. And there's no one arguing their point. It's like, we're being screwed. We're being stiffed up. How are we going to make it? What are they doing to us? That, in a strange kind of way, is actually bringing a little bit of unity, which I think is reflected in your approvals, if you want to call it that, when you're out on the streets or trying to do the work that you're doing. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, because ultimately, for us to make any real change in the way this country's run, it's a numbers game. It is. Mm-hmm. It's that basic. It's always, always a numbers game. And, and we've had phenomenal numbers but we don't have enough. So great. Mm. This is an opportunity to bring more and more people in. And while people are, like you say, people are really angry about the economy, but then it's not hard to then shift them to being angry about these bills as well, because they're already annoyed. So it's like, and do you know what they're doing as well as this? And they're like, what? They're instantly like, yeah, what are they doing? They don't go, oh, I'm sure they're doing great otherwise. They go, yeah, I bet they're doing something else awful. They're like quite of that mindset, which is great. So it is, it's a real opportunity to bring a lot of people in, but we're going out on the streets because, as we all know, there's echo chambers and algorithms and all that jazz to contend with online campaigning. So we're going out on the streets and reaching people that way, because then you break out of all of that. And that's been really good. We were at the Labour Party conference on Sunday, and I had people interviewing me that a year ago, had they seen my campaigns, they wouldn't have touched me with a barge pole. But because I was talking about these bills, they were like, well, that's very credible. Yes, we like you. Like, little do you know what I used to do. But I didn't tell them. That was, again, so that reaches a whole new audience that I've never been able to reach before. Mm-hmm. So it's a real opportunity to leave the past behind and move forward and gain more support and more momentum and more unity so we can really make a change.
I'll tell you one thing that'll maybe make you smile, because we're coming up to time. I used to work, before I started doing this, I worked for a large government organization, all right, for 11 years. And obviously they're very dyed in the wool in the way they think. I started speaking out while I was there, was running the gauntlet a little bit. If they knew what I was doing on my time, I could have been disciplined or sacked, because, you don't bite the hand that feeds. But there was a guy who was very high up in that organization that I got on like a house on fire with on a personal level. We never got into talking about the whole lockdown thing, because we all worked from home, and then I left, but we stayed in contact. And the other day he said, I'm listening to you every day on the radio. And I thought, he's only saying that. And he said, I am. I said, in fact, last week on your show, you said the population of Northern Ireland was 2.4 million. If I can just correct you, it's actually 1.91 million. I am listening to what you're saying, and I do deal with figures. And this is a guy, trust me, you would not think was paying attention to what somebody like you and I were saying. But listen, you would be surprised that who's tuned in. And I think, Louise, in a very positive way, the amount of people that will come on side with you from this point forward will be much more than the amount of people that will oppose you going forward, because the swell is going the other way. So before we finish, just to give you another little plug, this is Louise Crefield. Check out her website, saveourrights.uk, and also please follow her on Twitter at saveourrights.uk on Twitter. Louise, thank you very, very much for your time today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we won't leave it so long next time, I hope. So thank you, and I hope you have a lovely day. And Louise. You're very, very welcome. I'll be back tomorrow, all being well. This is TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Don't go away. More magic is on the way. Have a wonderful day, y'all.